Brother Merle requested that we read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Ephesians 5, 15. We, in unity, invited Jesus at least three times here while singing that last song to be with us. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. That's my prayer for today. Without him here, this service would be powerless. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. There is a lot there to meditate on. And if we apply that to our lives, they will be changed for the glory of God. Let's reverently kneel in prayer.
Throughout many years of my life, that song we sang, "Oh, to be like thee," has been my daily prayer. And I hope it is for each one of us. I'm thankful for the prayers that have been offered on my behalf this morning, Brother Ken, each one of you who have been praying for the service. I think as a church body, we're in a critical time right now. And it's important that we as God's people are seeking God's will, first of all, in every area of our life. And I have felt led this morning to speak especially to husbands and wives. If the church is to prosper, we need to be godly people. We need to have godly families in order to have a godly church. And I trust that you would pray that what I share this morning may be helpful as a church body to seek God's will. 'Twas God who led us through our courtship days. 'Twas He who planned our lives as they should be. He chose to join together both our ways that we might both might happier be. We pray that we will dearly love each other as through the coming years we journey fast. We ask God's blessing on our homes together, through which we know that happiness will last. Many of us have spoken some words such as this: we will live together after God's ordinance and the holy estate of matrimony. Will you love, comfort, honor, keep, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, love and cherish till death do us part. In the presence of God and these witnesses, I take you, promising with divine assistance to be unto you loving and faithful as long as we both shall live. In the last year, there's been quite a number of marriages in our congregation. As we look forward, a lot of babies have been born, and we have a very need in this church to lead and guide our young families and be examples to them as older ones. And in these words that I have shared tend to fade from memory, but our covenant with God stands, and it will not change. One relationship is not established, our one flesh relationship is not established by a sex relationship. It's not joined together completely by the government or by those officiating at the ceremony. The one relationship is a supernatural act of God. He calls us two individuals to become one. When a man and woman come together and each one for the first time view them, vow themselves to each other. I read in a newspaper some time ago that it thrilled me. It's exciting news. News you don't hear too much of today. Mr. Montel L. Davis had these lines printed in the Danville Republican, Indiana newspaper. I will be responsible for all the obligations of my wife, Vivian Davis. During 20 years of marriage, she has given me great happiness, comfort, counsel, and two fine children. As we begin our 21st year, I am proud to assume any and all of her wishes. You know, that's completely different from what we read in the newspaper today in many situations. Here are two people who lived for the Lord and lived to make each other happy. I have received many, many blessings by the hand of God in my life. And the two greatest ones have been salvation through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and passing my wife. The Lord has led us together. He had given her to me, a spiritual, loving, caring, committed wife who's always been faithful to me, and I was faithful to her. I want to ask a question this morning. Are you pleased with your marriage? But most of all, is the Lord pleased with your marriage? There are no perfect marriages. Patsy knew me better than anyone else except the Lord. She knew my faults, but praise the Lord, she still loved me. Do we really know the meaning of true love? We want to look at this area, this sermon, in three areas this morning: God's, today's version of love, God's version of love, and God's version of love lived. Today's vision of love. What is the meaning of love? Love is attached to many items. I believe love is a deep and tender feeling of affection towards someone. your companion. It's a strong interest in something or someone. It can be sexual passion or attachments to the things other than people. Many people think of a love affair as a passionate relationship between the man and the woman, which are not who are not married, at least not to each other. The world and the devil for centuries has tried to convince people of the notion that adulterous love is more exciting than love and marriage. And so many today have fallen into that trap. Others say that love is not really important. In place of romance and love, couples are invited or advised to treat each other with courtesy and try to make the marriage workable, at least stick together while the children are home. This is a sign of the last days. Same-sex marriage, without natural affection, marrying and giving marriage. The trend today is to do things with a crowd, women activities, men's activities, separate worlds, be independent. They say, be careful, don't become too attached to your companion. One writer has said the theory that we can spend much time away from one another without hurting the marriage relationship is Satan's lie, and I say amen. We need to do things together as couples with the Lord. Examples of this, there's many activities that men are involved in without their wives, or wives are involved without their men, and I'm not saying some of them cannot be good, but we need to be very careful. In the situation where women are out on the job force today, there's a temptation to have someone else get our attention. An independent spirit. As a husband or wife, you go your way and I'll go my way. And this is a sure direction for problems. Our main support as husbands and wives needs to come from the Lord and then from each other, rather than another individual or group of people. Today's version of love. Secondly, we want to look at God's version of love. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that the type of love you have for your wife? As a husband. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Are you ever bitter toward your companion? Deuteronomy 24:5, God realized the importance of man and wife's relationship. He should be free at home 1 year and should cheer up his wife, which he has taken. Are you cheering up your wife as a husband? To cheer up means to delight his wife, to know her, and to discover what would be pleasing to her. Is that the type of life that we live as men? In Titus 2:4, older women should teach your younger women to love their husbands. And the best way for you to do that as sisters is to be examples in your home. God, as the creator of marriage and the author of love, has desired that marriage should be a love affair full of thrills, joys, and lasting satisfaction for every couple, not for just a few. True love can come to you at any age, at any stage of your marriage. If we seek it in God's way, but we need to seek it in God's way, do not let another person get your attention. There's many men today and many women today are allowing another individual to get their attention other than their companion. Man was instructed to leave all else, cleave to his wife, and know her intimately over a lifetime. a process designed to establish a powerful love between them. God's way for a marriage to prosper is to both of them seek the Lord, have a new birth experience. And as I plead here this morning with any couples who are a young person considering marriage, never consider courting someone who is not a born-again believer. If you do, you're headed for trouble. We need to have the agape love, God's love, and love is costly. It requires much from the lover. Agape love means action, showing, experiencing. Agape love means involvement, having a concern for the other. Unconditionally loving the unlovely. And who of us have not been unlovely at times, even in our marriage? I know many times I could have done better in my marriage than I did. And I asked the Lord many times for forgiveness for that. Love, agape love, is permanent commitment to the object, the one we love. And that is until death do us part. Constructive, purposefully giving based on the knowledge of what is best for the beloved. In every marriage, sooner or later, a need arises that can be met only by unconditional love. Agape love is the answer of all wounds in marriage. We need to fill that love bank. There are hard times. What are you doing as a husband or wife to fill in your love bank? What is your love bank desire? Thirdly, you want to look at God's version of God of love lived. Probably about 25 or 30 years ago, one of our Sunday school teachers in a young married class asked me if I would teach a lesson on how to love your wife. So I thought the best thing to do there would to ask her, how do you know I really love you? I told her, it's no hurry. Let me know if you really believe that. It went for about 2 weeks, and I thought, well, maybe she can't think of anything. And then one day I came home. There was a paper with 18 things written down of how she knew I was a lover. There were things that I did for her that I was surprised meant so much to her. Does our companion always understand our love for them? Sometimes we misinterpret it. You know, we each have something that touches our heart more than other things. Some it's material objects, others it's time together, others it's openness and sharing of thoughts, others it's just words, I love you, and some it's just hugs and kisses. What is your wife or husband really desire? Many times it's not the same as we do, and we need to study their life to learn that we can fulfill that longing in their heart. Millions of men and women have no difficulty in falling in love, passionate love, but many of these numbers seem unable to stay in love. We need to ask each other, what do you expect of me in expressing my love to you? I might be a little scary, but it'd be good if we would do that. Ask our companion, what do you expect of me to show my love for you? Write them down. Keep them at a convenient place and think about them often and try and fulfill them. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. What does that mean? hold fast to each other, be cemented together, stick like glue, or be welded together, that the two cannot be separated without damage of both. I remember if you have a man who's a good welder and he makes a weld of metal, that'll never break if it's the right type of weld on that spot. And that's the way our marriage should be. Test each action, attitude, word, or decision against the biblical standard of cleaning, of cleaving. Ask yourself, will this draw us closer or drive us apart? We all have decisions we make in life every day, and it's so important how we deal with them. Will it build our relationship or will it tear it down? Will it bring about a positive or negative response? Does it express my love and loyalty to my partner, or does it reveal my self-centeredness? Those are some questions we need to ask ourselves daily as couples. Our wife or husband needs to know and hear that she is my gift from the Lord as long as we live. I like to challenge us as husbands and wives, as we get together in our morning devotion every morning, I sure hope we do, that we would pray and have a heart search. Help me to be a godly husband, a godly father, a godly grandfather, a godly wife or mother or grandmother. Show me, reveal to me, and guide me. We as men are supposed to be priests in our home. Our homes can be filled with talk, with many things. How often do we speak about the things of the Lord? The priest of the home, as a priest of the home, we must pray for our wife. How much time do you pray alone for your wife? Every day. And the children. Prayer produces intimacy. We become intimate with the one to whom we pray, the one for whom we pray, and the one with whom we pray. We need to pray for spiritual protection. As a husband, is there any unconfessed sin in my life? It will hinder my wife. Do I know her spiritual walk with the Lord, her relationship with the Lord? I'm responsible for her under my care as a husband. In the leadership of a family altar, don't call our home a Christian home if we do not have a family altar every day. Communication, taking time to listen. Men like to fix things quickly, but women many times just need to hear that we care. Take responsibility. I know as a husband, many times I was slow at making decisions, but my wife was patient until I made them. Sisters, are you really a faithful helpmeet to your husband? How much time do you pray for him every day? Do you realize the responsibility that's laid upon him? And you pray to give him wisdom to be a spiritual leader. And as he is your spiritual leader, are you obedient as he follows the Lord? Or do you buck his leadership? That can happen very easily. We need to be careful. I'd like to share with you a prescription for a superior marriage. Dr. Ed Wheat suggests a course of action. And the word he used is best, B-E-S-T. Best is for blessing. Speak well of each other. So you put down your companion to others. Respond with kindness, even when not deserved. Proverbs 31 says, you have power to bless your marriage by the word you speak to your partner. You can also bless by maybe sometimes learning to be silent. Showing thankfulness and appreciation with notes and cards and gifts. Praying. The richest man's fellowship with the Lord, the sweeter it will be with your companion. How much time do you spend praying for your partner alone and with him or her? The second letter of best is E, edifying, building up, cheering up in every area of your life. Never compare your marriage to any other. Increase his or her self-worth. What do you really think of her or him? How much do you value him or her? They know. It comes out in the way we treat them. Ephesians 5 says, nourish and cherish, build, never tear down. Do you ever tear down things in your marriage? It begins in our thought life. Dwell on their good qualities. Wives, edified by your response to your husband, esteem praise. Do you show respect to him when he speaks and when he moves? Respond to each other physically. The face is the most expressive part of a person. Your mate wants to see your smile, your eyes sparkling in response to him or her. Have you had that spark going from your marriage? God pity us if it has. Number 3, S, sharing. Time, activities, interests, concerns, thoughts, or spiritual walk, family goals, giving of self. I remember when I served as presiding elder, many weeks there was activities involved in the church every evening. And I neglected my wife. And I made a commitment to the Lord that every Thursday night would be our night together, unless the only exception would be for an anointing. And she realized that and she appreciated that. There was no question that was our night. Another area was listening. One evening I come home from work and Patsy says, you know why I talk so fast? I said, I didn't realize you did. She said, if I don't, when you come home, you're either in your study, on the telephone, and if I don't talk fast, I don't get to talk to you. That was an eye-opener to me. We have blind spots as men too many times. We need to learn to listen to our companion and evaluate her concerns. We need to look for areas of deeper closeness, learn to enjoy what she does or he does. We were a little different. We enjoyed mowing the lawn together, cleaning together, sharing a life. Shopping, she loved when I went along with her shopping, maybe in a discount store. I'd just sit on the bench, but she'd go shopping, and I'd just wait on her. She appreciated that. We were in hospital visit. I asked her, just go along. We need to spend time together. I'll buy you a sandwich at McDonald's. And that did the trick. The biggest problem today is in many marriages, as I mentioned, women with women and men with men, not doing things together. Get away from that independent spirit. Do things together. Life is too short to waste it. There's areas I wish I had to spend more time sharing with my wife. The fourth area is touching. Most people think of sex when they think of touching. Our minds go to that. Sex is a god to the world, and touching is ignored apart from sex. For men, there's 3 accepted kinds of touching in today's world. Handshakes, contact sports and sex. Men touching her life, our wife, aside from sexual desire, is very important to her. If you don't believe, I'd ask her. A young wife expressed her need for tangible expressions of caring in this poem to her husband. Please come take my hand, let's walk. Give me your eyes saying hi, gladly saying I care. Take hold, hand holds that let me know that you're always there. Kisses that gently want me. Keep saying thank you for being you. And then love that says I'll be here tomorrow and every day hereafter. Touching emotionally. There's personal pressures that many times wives have that we as men just need to talk and get alone and hear the problems on her heart. Small things that to us may be small, but to her, she needs our concern. My wife, my concern, they become part of her. Our job, our church, let her know how much we need her to encourage us in our walk with the Lord, and especially our leadership as priests of the home. Let each know that each is special, is a special in my sight. Your wife should feel loved at all times, even when she is not perfect. If you want a queen for a wife, privately and publicly treat her like one. Is your marriage exciting and God's honoring? Do you desire a spiritual leader? Respect him as one. The Lord wants it to be. Two questions. Do you know that I really love you? How do you know that? What can I do to make you happy? Life is short, and life is too short not to truly enjoy each other. Blessed is a marriage in which each receives the other as a gift from God to love and to cherish. Blessed is a marriage which learns early. Fear hardens a heart while love unlocks and softens it. Blessed is a wife whose thoughts for her husband drive out self-pity and make him her chief joy. Blessed is a husband whose love for his wife keeps his heart tender and all his speech kind. Blessed is that marriage where God is partner in every plan, where love for self does not exceed love for God and for others. Blessed is that marriage where satisfaction is not sought in things of wealth, but in larger stones of kindness and companionship. Blessed is a marriage which learns early the art of dividing care and multiplying joy by sharing them together. Blessed is that home which is a haven for travelers and a shelter from the cold, where guests love to come and the home of folks no desire, no better place. What type of a home do you have? What is your relationship as husband and wife? If we want Pleasant Hill to grow and mature into the likeness of Christ, we need to have homes where wives and husbands are joined together faithfully, where the children know without a shadow of a doubt that mother and dad stand for the Word of God. I think in many homes, the problem with our children is because we have not always been godly parents. And none of us have been perfect. And that's why we need to encourage and pray for each other. May God bless you.
Please stand for closing prayer.